I'd like for you to go with me back here to Genesis chapter 22 and the first 14 verses, the familiar story where we read that it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and he arose and went to the place which God had for him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. And the lad and I will go up yonder and worship and come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said to him, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And then he came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on the altar and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it upon the burnt offering, for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. I want you to notice with me that at first reading, God's demand of Abraham seems to be cruel and inhumane. Certainly God would not have required a human sacrifice. Obviously, God did not really want Abraham to kill his son. He had sent the angel to stop him just before he slew Isaac. So why would God make Abraham go through this awful ordeal? First of all, God wanted to test the greatness of Abraham's faith, as we noticed here. Now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your own son, your only son, from me. This indeed was a test of the genuine love of Abraham for God. Would he obey him in all things? You know, Abraham had not always obeyed God. He did not always fully trust God. But this was the final test, if you will, to show that he indeed would trust and love God. Secondly, God wanted to show us that he had a plan. You know, there's several things in the Old Testament, incidences that happened in the Old Testament that were types of the very image that we see in the New Testament. They were shadows of the very image that we would see in the New Testament. I want us to consider the following parallels offering to the offering of Isaac and the offering of Jesus, the Son of God. And I want us to see that indeed God has a plan. That what happened with Abraham and Isaac didn't just happen. It wasn't just an incident to prove the faith of Abraham or the love of Abraham. There was a greater plan in mind that we are to see just as well. So consider these following parallels. God told Abraham to offer his son on Mount Moriah, Genesis 22 and verse 2. On the same mountain range, the temple was built, 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. It was on this same mountain range that Jesus would be crucified, for he was crucified just outside the gates of Jerusalem as it was in the first century. Abraham was to offer his only son, and God offered his only begotten son on our behalf, John 3 and verse 16. Isaac carried the wood for the sacrifice. Jesus carried the cross upon which he would be sacrificed for our sins. The ram was caught by its horn in the thicket. A crown of thorns was thrust upon the head of Jesus. The ram became a substitute for Isaac. And Jesus is our substitute. He paid the price for our sins. In him in whom there was no sin, was offered as a satisfaction for our sin, a propitiation. We need to see that. 1 John 2 and verse 2, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 10 just simply says, he died for us. He died on our behalf. Not to pay the price of his sin, because there was no sin or transgression in him, but to pay the price of death for our sin, for the wages of sin is death. Abraham told his son, God will provide the lamb. God provided Jesus, the Lamb of God, for us. Isaiah 53 and verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In John 1 and verse 29, John the Baptist plainly declared, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Revelation 5 and verses 6 through 13, John says, I look and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of his right hand of him who sat upon the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four and living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, who shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. My son, God will provide the lamb. He provided the ram for Abraham and Isaac, and he provided the sacrificial lamb that was needed for the forgiveness of our sins. Abraham bound his son, and God bound his son. bound him in the form of a human being. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Philippians 2 and verse 8 says, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Isaiah 53 and verse 10, it pleased God to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Matthew 26 and verse 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus was bound by the will of his Father. Not that it wasn't his own will, but it was the will of his Father and his love for the Father, this plan of salvation, his love for the lost, that bound him to the mission that he had, that mission of salvation and the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. Almost every detail of Abraham offering Isaac was a part of God's plan for his own son. More than 2,000 years before Calvary, God outlined the death of our sacrificial lamb. The most compelling aspect of this plan is that it pleased God to offer his son, Isaiah 53 and verse 10 and John 3:16. It pleased God because of the love of God, the nature of God, and his love for the lost, his love of wanting to redeem and the lost and be reconciled to those of us who have alienated ourselves from him by our sins. How should we respond to this gracious heavenly plan? We didn't do anything to compel God to make such a wonderful plan of sacrifice on our behalf, but he did out of love for us. How are we to respond? Jesus said that we are to believe it, John 3:16 and John 8:24. I said to you that if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the Lamb which the Father has provided, your sacrifice for sins, you will die in your sins. Mark 16 and 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. We must confess Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Matthew 10 and verse 32, Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Philip said to the Ethiopian treasurer, after he says, what prevents me from being baptized? He says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It was upon that confession that they commanded the chariot to stop. They got out of the chariot, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. We must repent. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish. And in Acts 2, and verse 38, when those on the day of Pentecost were convinced of the fact that Jesus of Nazareth, for whom they had cried to be crucified just a few days earlier, when they were convinced that he was both Lord and Christ, they said, what shall we do? And the divine answer is Peter spoke as the Holy Spirit was giving him the words, was repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. We need to allow God to wash away our sins through baptism and into Christ. Just as Acts 22 and verse 16, just as Saul was told Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on or appealing to the name or the authority of the Lord. Colossians 2 and verse 12 tells us that we are buried with Him in baptism, in which also you are raised through faith, with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. It's an operation of God. It's an operation of faith. It's an operation of love. It's an operation of faith when we trust Him and obey Him. And we love Him to the point that we turn from our self-serving life to serving Him, obeying Him in baptism, trusting that He speaks our sins forgiven when we obey Him in baptism. And we rise with Him to walk in newness of life, in the words of Romans chapter 6. We are raised with Him through faith in the working of God. God speaks, our sins forgiven. It is His resurrection that validates our faith and validates our obedience. We need to live according to God's plan and not to our own. From the day of our new birth until the day of our physical death, we must continue to live according to His plan. Titus 2, verses 11 through 14 says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." You know, it's interesting when you hear people talking about the grace of God. If all you knew about the grace of God was what many people say about the grace of God, you would expect that the next words to come along here would read something like, "The grace of God has appeared, that brings salvation, has appeared to all men. Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth to save men from all their sins." And that could be a true statement, couldn't it? But that's not what was on the mind of Paul as he was writing to Titus here. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. You know, if we need to be taught something, then there must be something we don't know. There must be something that God expects for us to do. And we can't do it unless He teaches us. Did He have to teach us? No. We didn't do anything to compel Him to teach us what we had to do to be saved. That's why it's grace. He teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous of good works. Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Do not fear any of the things that you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." It seems that the death of some of these saints is imminent. They are going to be put to death because of their faith in Christ and their refusal to deny Christ. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I will give you a crown of life." We're all going to die. We're all going to die. You be faithful. Be faithful. And I will give you a crown of life. Isn't it wonderful to know that God has a plan for us. It's a plan that is unfolded for us. It's a plan that we get a peek of in the story of Abraham and Isaac. As we're reading that, we might not have, the first time you read it, you wouldn't have any clue that that's what Jesus was pointing to. But when we get to this side of the cross and looking back, and we see why Jesus was offered and how he was offered in our place for our sins, we say, that's a lot like. God did a lot like what Abraham did. And even more so. Why did Abraham obey God? Because he loved God. Because he trusted God. We get a little bit of insight into the mind of Abraham in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, don't we? Where the Hebrew writer says, Abraham was thinking that, well, I might put him to death, but God will bring him back to life. That's not what God had in mind. God had something even greater in mind. Abraham was right when he told Isaac, God will provide the lamb. He provided the lamb in that situation. He provided the lamb for our situation. Have you applied the blood of the lamb to the sins that you have committed? To have them washed away in the blood of Christ, to have God speak your sins forgiven, and for you to live in the blessed hope of receiving the full intent of this promise, the full intention of the plan for your salvation and your eternity as a result of it. If you're here tonight and you know you're out of Christ and you want to be in Him, you want to accept the price that was paid on your behalf. You want to live the righteousness that is revealed in the gospel of Christ. You want to live to the glory of God rather than to the satisfaction of your selfish lust of the flesh. Then obey Him tonight and be baptized. Be born again. And walk in newness of life with Him. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God out of favor with Him, perhaps reflecting upon this great plan of God and the love of God for us that's caused us to turn back to Him. If we can pray with you and for you on your behalf for anything, we'd encourage you to let it be known. Would you please come forward as we stand and sing this song?